I'm just continuing this series of keys or, you know, stuff I found important in life, not just the Christian life, but the whole of life, because that's what it is. It's one life. And so we've been working through a series on, you know, the cross, the blood, the word. And we've got to this section on service. And there's going to be an encouragement in that to serve. But I wanted to start by saying, especially in the context of the annual general meeting, which we had last week, for which we produced this annual report, which has already been referred to, that this is a church that does a lot of serving. This is a church that really puts a lot of effort into serving the community, the activities of the church to serve the body and to serve the community. So right at the beginning, I want to get rid of any sense of me trying to bash a stick and saying, you know, you've got to serve more, what's going on, you know. It's such a blessing to work with this church, to work with the leaders in this church, because it is such a servant-hearted church. And I would really encourage you to read this thing, because, you know, all the activities that are going on, all the different things that are happening. And also on service, I just want to mark something here. If you're part of the HOTS team, or have ever worked on HOTS, could you stand now, please? Thank you, guys. Right, these guys, the HOTS team, Healing on the Streets, in this August, it'll be 5 years that we've been doing this ministry. Every Saturday morning in all weathers, going out, putting a banner up and just being available to talk to people and to pray for people for healing, week in, week out. So real faithful service. And we've had some amazing healings on the streets. We've had times when nothing has happened. We've had contacts. The African Church is using this building now because of us being out there. The Czech Church is in here now because of us being out there. There are people that have been connected with the church and partnerships with other ministries because of it. But we have decided that this season has come to an end. We've decided that, in fact, yesterday was the final hot session. Because every year we've gone to the Lord and we've said, Lord, are we still to do this? Because it's very dangerous in church life to just carry on something, doing something for the sake of it. There is a value in faithfulness and endurance, but you've also got to beware of just routine and stuff. So every year we take it to the Lord. And every year he said, yeah, keep going. And this year, a few months ago, about a month or so ago, we met and we really felt the Lord was saying, this season is ending. But it's not that we're just going to go back in the boxes and just not do anything. What we want to do is actually be more available to the Lord, not constrained in a sense by this. So the reason I want these people to stand is to honor them. I honor you guys. I honor you before the church, and the church honors you for what you have put in. All those Saturdays that you have given up, all those conversations, all the study, if you're like me, of the skyline opposite. I know every slate on that roof as you stand there with nothing happening. Rain, why, God? But I got to tell you that every time we've gone out and we have knelt on the street, this is the most powerful thing about it. The first time was really hard. We wanted to put a screen around ourselves. You kneel on the street and you just worship for a few minutes and you give it to God. And those are some of the most incredible worship times I have ever known. Often you wouldn't want to kneel down, but then you wouldn't want to get up because the sense of the presence of God. So God is waiting to move in this area. So I would like you to applaud these people enthusiastically for what they've done. Thank you. Well done, guys. Thank you very much. Well done. Awesome. And the lessons that we've learned through doing HOTS, because, you know, you have to go through quite a few filters, especially, I think, being British and that whole thing of approaching people. It's really good to deal with that. A lot of that is very, it almost makes a slave of you, not able to step out and just talk to people. So there's more boldness, there's more confidence in just being able to talk to someone. They say, could we pray for you? Just making that step over from inside thinking, wouldn't it be great to pray, to simply verbalizing it. So we want to do more, and we would invite other people to join with us. We're meeting hopefully sometime next month to work out what's next. Okay. Right, let's have a look at this awesome passage. This is just a passage I just keep coming back to again and again. I'd really encourage you to, as you read in the Word, to stay near the Gospels and to stay near looking at the life of Jesus, because there's just so much to learn from the life of our glorious Savior. Right, John 13, 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus, this is a key verse. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God, and he was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No, no," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." And Jesus answered, "Those who've had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Father, would you please give understanding of your word? Send your Holy Spirit to reveal to our hearts and our minds the truths that you want us to take on board today, Father, in Jesus' name. Right. Okay, service. It's a nervous moment. I never doubted for a second. Service. Who do you serve? What do you serve? Whom do you serve? How do you serve? It's going to be a quick, just a quick tour of this issue. Let's first of all think of some of the stuff we've just read about, really, Jesus' servant. There's a lot of words going up here now, but I want you to get an idea of context here. After the washing of the feet, the next day, Jesus would have his robe taken off and be whipped, beaten, and crucified. That robe would be the prize in a game of dice. I'll just let you read that for a minute. So the context, isn't it amazing? The context. In John, virtually the whole book is about the Last Supper. And so it's all in the context of this. He's trained these guys. He's taught them. He's been exasperated with them. He's loved them. He's led them. And he's washed their feet. Even the feet of Judas. Judas was there when the washing of the feet was done. So after the Lord Jesus voluntarily taking off his robe and laying it aside, the robe of a rabbi, the next day, the whole reason for him coming, showing a perfect life and then giving that life in sacrifice, would be happening. So what he does the night before is very, very important. That's why the Passover is so important. Context is so important when you look at what he did that night. He was serving by washing the feet of his 12 disciples, and he was about to serve all humanity by giving his life. Again, it's just, to me, it's just so beautiful that he demonstrates that, and he gives an example, and then he gives his life for all. Okay, let's have a look at just some stuff from the reading. Remember I said about that business, about that verse is really important. You know, it's in there for a reason. In fact, it's alluded to twice almost at the beginning and then a bit further on. This idea of Jesus knowing who he was. Jesus wasn't serving them to get admiration and accolades. He wasn't doing stuff for them as a sort of circuit that meant that it fed his ego. He was coming from a place of knowing God and knowing God's plan, knowing that God had sent him, knowing that he was going back to God. And that gave him freedom to serve. He could live in that freedom. He didn't have to seek the approval because he knew who he was before the Father. And in fact, I've not really seen this before, but this robe he had, this lovely robe that was so good, they threw dice for it after the crucifixion, when he was on the cross. It was this sign of his identity, this rabbi robe, where many times Pharisees said, "So rabbi, what do you think?" He was identified, he was wearing this, the signs on this robe. But he took that off. And he just had the undergarment on, and he put a towel around his waist, and he took on totally the form of a servant. It reminds you of that verse where it says, he took on the form of a servant and gave his life. That's such a powerful picture of what Jesus did. In humility, can you imagine this? The Lord of all, the Lord and their master and the Savior of the world, and he knelt before them, totally identified as a servant. If someone came in the room, they wouldn't think the rabbi was there and say, "Oh yeah, that's the foot servant," because this was the lowest of the low, cleaning the feet. There were grades of what you did as service. This was the lowest of the low, surprisingly enough. Feet got very dirty. Such is the love of Jesus. But he also, so while we're thinking this is amazing, and my gosh, I'm just going to go and live on an island and meditate on this for 10 years and not speak to anyone. He delivers the killer blow, if you like, sort of right into the ego. This is an example. If I have done this. And I've just put that quote in there again, which we looked at a few weeks ago when I was looking at relationships and stuff. That's how Jesus said it was the first test of how we would be known by the world as disciples of Christ, by our love for each other. And there's a demonstration of the love here. So he says, sorry, should have turned the mic off. He said, "I give you an example." So there's so much going on in these verses. You know, you think about it, go and have a look at it, another time. But there's so much going on in these verses where it's about his identity, his freedom in that, but then he gives this example. Okay. Finally, in this section, this third point here, he was also saying you need to be washed ready for service. He was pointing forward to the whole underlying power of the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection, that we would be new people in Christ. That his disciples would be new in Christ, set free from their old lives, set free from sin and habits and everything that held them, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. But he was saying that you needed to go through that. He was saying, if that's why he said to Peter, "If I don't wash you, you can have no part in this. It wasn't about the feet at that point, yeah? There was a bit of pride in Peter. He had to accept that. But he's pointing to the whole thing of what he was about to achieve. It's all pointing forward to the amazing effect that believing in Christ and being filled with the Holy Spirit and being set free to serve can have. So Christ has taken them through that. You need to be washed ready for service. You need to be set free for service. And then Peter did the usual Peter response, which is, first of all, not me, and then everything. I love the man. Right. Just some foundations. Just some sort of big, you know, sort of screens around the stage, if you like. Some big picture stuff. All time is a gift from God. That's a bit of a given, isn't it? God made time, he's given us time. We all have this gift of time. And why I'm saying that is to get us into that thinking. The time is not ours. We don't own this time, we give it back. He gives us time. It's like anything God gives, we are stewards of it. So we are stewards of time. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get off at that point. Our lives self-evident. Our lives belong to Christ. We are not our own, but we have been bought at a price, the precious blood of Jesus. So when you accepted Jesus, you said, yes, Lord, and the Lord said, yeah, I'll take that life of doubt and fear and all that stuff, and I'll give you a life. I'll give you a life of freedom and hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you do that exchange, and of course, that's what baptism demonstrates and is so powerful and shows that. That dying and resurrecting in new life in Christ. So our lives belong to him. And just a final thought. It's again, it's sort of self-evident, I guess. But there is enough time to do the will of God. What God wants you to do, there's going to be enough time to do. But obviously that will depend how you steward your time. It says that God has prepared good works for us to do. He has got stuff for us to do. Okay, I'm just going to look at some of the values of serving. Serving is an incredibly powerful thing. It goes back to what Jesus was doing when he was doing that, you know, washing the feet. There's messages. When you serve, there's a message. And the main message is that those who are being served are valued. It's very, very powerful. We don't just realize, just how powerful this is. Just doing a small act of kindness can make someone feel valued. And when they feel valued, it causes them to assess. It goes into what they're experiencing. So when you do something nice for people, even those sort of little silly things, you know, like you go through the bridge toll and you pay for the people behind you, or you just give a stranger a coffee, or you know, you just bless someone in a small way, it confronts the reality of what's going on, where very much it's like, well, it's just me and no one cares for me and I've just got to get on with it, and if I don't do it, no one will, and dog-eat-dog type stuff. So it sends a message that those who are being served are valued. And that's why it's so important that the church is seen to serve before it speaks. We need to speak. We need to tell the truth. We need to say what the situation is. There's a loving God and all that. But we, you know, we need the right to do that. We need to show that we love people for who they are, and we're prepared to step out for people. It's also more blessed to give than to receive. That's in Acts, but it's quoting Jesus, if you like, because he said, remember what Jesus said? So it's actually more blessed to give than to receive. Now, if there was ever a verse that will cause problems in this consumer society, it's that one, isn't it? How bonkers is that? Surely the only time when it's better to give than to receive is when there's a tax break involved. How else? Or you're going to get some, or you're going to be, I've done you a favor, mate, you owe me a favor. You know, it has to be in the context, surely, of getting something for yourself, but not in the upside down kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's more blessed to give. And do you know what that is? And you don't do this with a selfish spirit, but God wants to bless those who give. What he's saying is, you give and trust it to me, and I'll sort you out. God wants to bless. He is a blessing God. Hallelujah. All right, so it's more blessed to give than to receive. And this man, a value of serving is that it enables God's grace to flow through you. When you put yourself out for others, it puts you in a place where you're stepping out from your comfort zone. They may tell you to get lost. You're taking a risk. In HOTS, we did actually have people, and it was very good. I struggled, man. The first few months, I really struggled. I nearly punched a guy. Obviously, that was before you. I was thinking of being called as a pastor. Now I would have just have thumped him. I was thinking of thumping a guy because the look he gave me was so unbelievably dismissive and like as if I'd just fallen off the bottom of a shoe or something. I mean, it was really like, and something rose up in me. I know I'm white, but I would call it gingerness. And I was like, ding! I'm here waiting to pray for your healing. And you just look at me like that, and he walked past. And I went across the road, and I said to the guys, you need to pray for me. I nearly just hit someone. I don't think I'm in the right place. I'm just being honest with you guys. When you step out, and people don't want it, and they look at you like you're a nutter, that is not easy. Because when you go to people, they might not just say, oh, do you know what? I waited 10 years for the church to come out and pray for me. They might say, aren't you just deluded? Because that's what I've read. So we got all sorts of things. We actually had one person hiss at us, which I thought was the most entertaining. They actually hissed as they went past us. Well, it was more of a hiss than that sound. But, you know, that's a good one as well. Anyway, it enables God's grace to flow through. You have to step out. That wasn't my phone. You have to step out. And it enables the grace. Now, what happens if you're not allowing grace to flow through you? Have you heard of the Dead Sea? You've heard of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. There it is. That white stuff is salt. Does that come out? That's dreadful. That white stuff is salt. It's 400 meters below sea level. The River Jordan flows into it. And nothing flows out of it. In other words, all it does is take millions of gallons of water, but nothing flows out. So it only evaporates, and so all you get is salt, 25 to 37% salinity, and nothing lives there apart from some very specialized microorganisms. It's a place of death. And to me, I've always remembered this. Someone preached on this a long, long time ago, and to me it's been a very powerful thing of the Christian life. If it's all about gimme, 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 give, 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 so that is not a healthy place to be. You receive so that you can give. So I just think that's a powerful image, the Dead Sea. Don't end up like the Dead Sea. This is the other thing. This is just the issue I want to deal with. And again, I don't want to condemn, but I would like people to just think about stuff. I don't have the time. Here's the question. If you got, you know, we've all got the same amount of time. Some people manage an awful lot in that time. Some people manage very little. So what happens? How does that work? So it's about, surely, what we fill our lives with, what we fill that time with, if we're given this certain amount. And that leads to what are our priorities? What is important to us when we have all this time to spend? And it is good, every now and then, just to step back from just doing, and say, what am I doing? I don't know if you're familiar with this. This sort of visual demonstration of the time thing. How many recognize this thing with the jar and the stones? Good. Okay, quite a few, right? Basically, a professor, I understand the story can be traced back to France. A professor in France was speaking to these chief executives of various places, and he was talking about time management. And he just pulled a big jar out from under the desk, and he had, I'll do the quick version. He had basically sort of bought large stones, so you can see those big stones, fist-sized stones, and then he had smaller pebbles, and then he had sand. And he said, right, if you just carry on filling up your life, you know, with stuff, and he was saying these are the three, if you like, these are three different levels of priority. So the big stones are going to be the really important thing. Now, to Christians, this is going to be, I would say, reading the Word, time with God, relationships, service. You know, these are the important things in life, what you've been called to. You know, family, health, I think, would be in there. And then the stones, the smaller ones, are going to be perhaps jobs, hobbies, you know, other sort of stuff. Then the small stuff, the sand, is the stuff like, is how important is that? And this is where I'm going to get a bit more seen. So to me, that would be stuff like video games and perhaps just like lots of electronic stuff, which is, you know, obviously we all need to go back to writing on paper, right? Now, this is why I need to be careful here, because all I'm saying is that you need to decide what the three groups are. I'm just using examples, what I would see. You need to decide what the three groups are. Very important, not so important, and a bit trivial. But what happens in a lot of lives is that the sand goes in first. The trivial stuff goes in first, because it's just there, and we do it. And then there's 2 hours gone. Oh, I watched a bit of telly. I only put on to see the news, and I ended up watching some dumb film, and I learned nothing from it. Blah, blah, blah. And if you put the sand in first and then the stones, by the time you get to the important things, there's no room. That's the basic lesson of this. You can go on and watch the videos, and it's done a lot more expertly. Whereas, if you imagine the giant, you put those stones in first, the other stuff will fill around it, which is why it is very important for you to look at the priorities in your life. And then fill the stuff around it. We've come at this incredible crossroads, and there's a huge challenge. We're in a consumer society, so I am boss. I say what goes into my life. I am the boss of my life. I am the boss of my destiny. That's it. The individual is king. Crossed with the entertainment thing. With the entertainment thing is that, oh my gosh, these people all got so much time because they got washing machines, so they got so much time when they're not washing or whatever, that we've got to give them loads of entertainment. So there's an incredible amount of stuff to watch and do and experience. So we've got these two massive towers at the same time. We are in charge. And obviously with the internet and that, then there's very little accountancy in that, in the sense of accountability, you know? So we are in charge. We can get away with lots of stuff. And we can just fill our lives with this stuff, which is why it is so important. And I would really encourage you, young people, to look at this and start to get the priorities right. And do you know, there's this book that was recommended to me, and I've checked out the main details in this, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, and this is one of the 7. You look at your priorities regularly, and you review them. And what's not in there, you're ditching. It was a very useful tip, actually. There were 7 very useful things. Of course, I was already doing 6.5 of them, but what the heck. That is one of the things this person says. Anyway, I've banged on about that long enough. That's probably the main point of this. To look at your priorities in the context of what Jesus did and what Jesus calls you to do. And then what you take before the Father. Okay, so application. Talk to God, Chief Shepherd. Look, I'm a pastor, but I'm like a junior shepherd. He's the main man. I am just trying to sort of encourage you to go to Father, to go to the Chief Shepherd and take stuff and work it through with him. And I guess that's probably the main way I see my calling in the sense of the church, is to just to encourage you to talk to God. To almost challenge you enough to say, oh, I better check this out with the Father. And so please, you know, if you think that all I've said is rubbish, just go to the Lord and talk about him. Ask him to move your heart. There's a fantastic verse in Ezra where they're beginning to set up. They're coming back from the, you know, the Exodus and all that, where they got, well, what's it called? And they got chucked out and they had to... Exile, that's the word, exile, thank you. They got chucked out in the exile, right? So they're coming back, and they go to the king, and he says, yeah, go back and back and back. And then it says that those whose hearts were moved by God began to build. So there was this sense where God had this job to do, and he was going around, and those people needed to be open to hear that. And then they would respond. So please ask the Father. Get into partnership with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your counselor, your companion. The Holy Spirit is the one that wants to make Jesus real in your life. So he's going to work with you in this. You can talk to him about this. You just spirit. What's on the Father's heart for me? What's the Father's heart for me? What does the Father want my heart to reflect? Please just take that back to him, because that's a verse in the way. You can say, Lord, you move the hearts of those people. What do you want to do in my heart? And you may find that the Lord starts to put something like children or Africa or the persecuted church or something, or maybe a neighbor or something. But listen, the Father will not ignore that prayer. The Father will answer that prayer. Where people call, his children call, Father, what do you want me to do? I would encourage you to look critically at the time, priorities, activities, just to do that thing where you say, well, what is it about? Just pull back from it and say, what is important? What is important for me in this? Including church stuff as well. It's what we have to do with HOTS. Is this really God's will? Now, I got to say this every week. Now, I'm not trying to, again, you got to hear what I'm saying here. This isn't all about church stuff. This is just about you serving whatever and however. But there's a desire here. There's a vision here to build something that will bless this community. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes people. And there's a lot of serving going on. But there's always stuff sort of extra. So if you want to find out something, you can look at doing. Have a look at the vacancies bit in there. And please don't feel that just because you start something, you're going to be doing it for another 40 years until you retire with a box of chocolates. We don't want to abuse people here. We want to bless people. And we don't want people to feel they've got to keep doing it once they're, you know, once the season's moved on. So you can try stuff out. Talk to the different leaders. Okay, final thoughts. God has got a call on his people. You are priests, and the priests were called to serve. And you're called to be servant-hearted and servant-active. Because eventually, at some point, an act of service will become an action. That's why it's called an act of service. It will become from a heart to an act. Okay, bless you. Should we just take a minute to pray while the band come back up? Thank you, Father God. I do love you guys. I love you an awful lot. I know I get a bit excited and a bit shouty, but I do love you, and you're doing an amazing job. Father, I just thank you for this fellowship, Father God, and we just thank you for all that is going on in here, Lord. And we bless you for that, Father. And we thank you for the lives that you're touching through us, Lord. We want more, Father God. We want you, Lord, to be blessing people through us. I just pray, Father, I just lay that word before you. And I ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit would take parts of it and just apply it to hearts and minds as you want to, Lord. I just lay it before you. And would you enable all of us just to come before you and lay stuff before you? And would you speak to us and guide us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.